Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
That is right. It is Crusader Talk. Glad to be with you here on today's episode. We are coming in hot with all the latest and greatest of William Carey Athletics for the field, the court, and the diamond. Our talk is so hot, you finally defrosted just by tuning in to your radio or your podcast this afternoon. Boy, talk about coming off a cold week.
I didn't know if we were going to get out of Dalton, Georgia. What are you talking about?
Oh, man, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's Coach Knight had mentioned to me before about there's a big hill up to that gym or down to that gym that the bus, he was kind of worried if it would make it there. And luckily, they found a way to make it work.
It was very slushy at the bottom of that hill. I took it very, very slow. I crawled up the
hill. That's right, because you had your own transportation. You didn't take the bus.
So we were only 0.6 miles from Bandy Gym. But love that little gym. Hospitality was tremendous. The score was not what we wanted. We'll talk about that later. But credit to everybody in Dalton, Georgia, public service. Everybody made the right call. We were right on the edge of that bomb cyclone. My goodness, we still had a couple of inches of snow. There were times where, had there been more moisture in the air, it would have been a blizzard. I mean, what flurries we had were coming 25 miles an hour horizontal through the overhang of the hotel. And I think that had an effect on the guys. Hey, are we even going to get to leave here and go eat pregame? Hey, are we going to get out of here? Are we even going to play? So there were a lot of questions until they left for the game, and then they had to compartmentalize and refocus. I don't think you ever know how much that affects you, but it definitely had an effect.
Yeah. It had an effect on a lot of people for a lot of different things, not just basketball. But this is a busy time of year, obviously, and luckily the weather did not slow up the ability for Carey to play. Now, one group that it did kind of slow down just in the results, surprisingly, were the William Carey women's basketball team. A little bit of a shocker there in the performance down at Loyola. And I think the bigger shock was dropping the decision by 1 point to Life in Marietta on, I guess it was Thursday. But all things considered, this team probably needed just a minor setback to really boost them forward into the later season. But at the same time, it's obviously really rare to see Carey drop regular season games, much less two in a row.
Yeah, I mean, so think about this. We were documenting what they were doing, which was insane. Over two calendar years without a loss in the regular season, 57 consecutive games in terms of consecutive regular season wins. So an 18-0 start for the second consecutive year. And then you lose by six in New Orleans. I want to rewind it back to the final regular season game last year. It took a barrage of threes. It took three threes in 4 minutes from Anna Rose Engel. It took five threes throughout the course of the game for Addie Scherer for Carey not to lose in the season finale a year ago. And that would have been heartbreaking. When I saw that three-point show from those two young ladies, it was a Hollywood script. I mean, it was magical. And then as a broadcaster, you wrap that broadcast and you realize, I'm probably never calling anything like this again. To go through and call a regular season undefeated for any team you cover, whether it be a basketball or baseball type scenario, that's very, very minimal, shall we say, the odds of that. And so I felt that if the streak could end, it would probably be at Loyola New Orleans. And it was 69-63. Loyola played really well. Carey made multiple runs and then kind of ran out of time late in that game. Had to foul a ton. Loyola was 20 of 22 from the free throw line in the fourth quarter.
They've always been a good free throw shooting
team. Carey was chasing that game. So then you fast forward to Life on Thursday. Dalton State does not have a women's basketball team, so that was the second of the two games that week. And Carey, I know this is just my memory, you know, I'm not looking at the play-by-play from the box score, but it felt like Life did not get the ball across half court in the final minute. Cary uses an 8-0 run to go up one, immediately gives up a bucket to go down 53-52. Cary would, you know, miss, offensive rebound, miss, kick it out of bounds, get a steal, get it back, miss a three, offensive rebound, miss another shot, kick it out of bounds, get another steal. This went on for an entire minute that culminated with an Addy Scher three open to win the game, and it was short. And that's how Cary lost every bit of, you know, a half dozen chances to win that game in the final minute. Got the stops they needed, got the looks they wanted. Matty Ladner, who went 0 for 6 in that game, and all of those were at the rim. I mean, that's just, that's a game to me. It's just like, hey, we weren't supposed to win that game. It just wasn't. We weren't supposed to win that game. But that's tough because you fall a half game back in the loss column of Loyola, and couple that with the Loyola win, I think carries a full game back. So it might have cost you the regular season. It very well could have. But it's okay because Cary was number 10 in the RPI. You have two road losses to Loyola, will be ranked in the next top 25 poll. They're a top 20, they'll be a top 10 RPI team with that win over Cary. Life is a top 50 road RPI loss. They'll end up being in the top 40, top 35. Long story short to say, those games don't hurt you, could have really helped you. But Cary's put themselves in a really good position if they handle business in the games they're supposed to regardless of what happens in the latter stages of the tournament, they're going to get an at-large.
Yeah.
But you got to go. You go get these two at home this week against Thomas and ABAC, and you're 22-2, or you're 20-2. Excuse me, you're 20-2, and you don't plummet in the polls. You drop, but you don't plummet. Because neither one of those losses were bad losses.
Now, where Cary has faltered, which, by the way, that Loyola loss was their third game in 5 days to play.
Right.
And so you could understand, you know, coming out a little bit flat. You may have had some other things stacked against you. We won't dive too deep into that, of some points that maybe shouldn't have counted, you know, one way or the other down there in New Orleans. But
the officiating was lacking. We'll say that. Now, let me say this without giving away too much. Let's just say the league was aware of it. The league had a lot of cancellations in that game, and there was nothing that could be done.
I see.
So the league was aware that it was going to be an issue going into that game.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, but that
It's a busy schedule, busy time of year, so you can understand who's available for that.
Yeah.
For a Monday.
Yeah. But that's really unfortunate. You're glad there wasn't more riding on the line. You know, final game of the regular season championship on the line. And with everything with weather and all, it fell through to that extent in terms of getting the right crew there to call that game.
Yeah. So you get a chance to bounce back with Thomas coming up on Thursday and then ABAC on Saturday. Ideally would be two wins for your program, especially being at home. But it gets harder down the stretch.
Oh, it does. I mean, Tennessee Southern is that quiet team that could absolutely get hot and win the tournament. And Coach Garriga has been saying that all year long. Thomas, very much like Life, is going to de-carry up, is going to play physical, is going to create some one-on-one matchup problems. And then ABAC's got the top scorer in the league, one of the top scorers in the country, number two scorer in the country, who did not play well. Cary did a really good job against her over in Tifton. But then, as you mentioned, that huge matchup coming up at Faulkner.
Yeah.
Because right now, Cary, they're in second, but you've got two teams that are half game back in the loss column in Faulkner and Tennessee Southern. It is stacked at the top. 10-1, 9-2, 9-3, 9-3, Loyola, Cary, Faulkner, and Tennessee Southern. Cary could wake up and be fourth in the league if they don't handle business.
Yeah. And you look back at it, Cary handled Faulkner fairly well back at, you know, Clinton Gym earlier this year, January 8th, where they won 84-64. But you have to put that in the rearview mirror.
Oh, 100%.
For the game that's coming up at Montgomery. I know we're broadcasters. We could talk about jumping past these next two games. But you could also look at Blue Mountain. I don't know why, but Blue Mountain has always been just a random game on the schedule that is difficult at times, mainly when it's at their place, but still.
Ruthie Smith is a first-team all-league type player. And I would say going into the year, she was a candidate for player of the year in the league, in my opinion. So with her struggles in Hattiesburg, with the way that Faulkner will shoot it in their gym, that is going to certainly be a challenge.
All right. So as we mentioned, it is crossover season. We'll talk a little bit about men's basketball coming up in the third segment with Coach Steve Knight, who will join us in studio. But also, we are in the middle of baseball season. They had a big weekend over in Santa Clarita, California, which was not the original schedule for all that. We'll get into that next. But also, softball is about to begin their season coming up this week. So we'll recap or preview that, recap baseball, recap basketball, a whole lot more coming your way as we talk everything William Carey Athletics during this crossover time of the year. Stay with us as you listen to Crusader Talk.
Listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, taking you sport by sport through Carey Athletics today, and I guarantee you we're not going to hit them all in the manner that they deserve because we are a one-hour show. That's with the commercials built in on the radio side. So about 42 minutes after all that's clipped out for the podcast. So we're just running and gunning here, trying to get it all worked out and ready for you. All right, baseball has finished up their opening weekend. Originally scheduled to play Hope International, LSU Shreveport, and the Masters out of California in a weekend slate over in Louisiana. But that just because of weather and everything else did not happen. And it was kind of not a last-minute thing, but a week-of deal to where William Carey, as of Monday of last week, decided to kind of reverse the script with the Masters, who didn't really want to fly all the way out to Shreveport. I think they were able to use the flights credits or whatever that Masters was going to use to fly to Louisiana for Carey to use to fly upstream to the Los Angeles area. And so it worked out. Coach Halford and them worked out a four-game slate for the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and got it in. And beautiful, sunshiny Southern California.
Somebody's got to do it.
Somebody has to, and I tell you what, I'm glad it was Carey.
And then you have all the hype and all the excitement, and then
preseason top 25.
And then you text me the score from the first game early, and we were a little nervous, Caleb.
Well,
we were just a little anxious,
just a little bit. You know, when let's break it down. Matthew Davis starts game one for Carey, and had his ups and downs last year. Had some really great bright spots as a transfer student. But later in the year, kind of became a little bit unreliable. Struggled with command, would walk, get three batters in a row, you know, throw a wild pitch or hit a batter. It was just one of those things of there was usually a quick undoing that you would notice if it just wasn't his day. And that turned out to be the case in game one on Thursday, in which Carey throws him out there, and he faces five batters, records one out, walks three, had a balk, and maybe hit a guy too. No, he didn't hit one. I'm trying to remember what the other one was. May have just been – oh, that was the hit. He gave up one hit, walked three, and then got the other one to ground out. But gave up four earned runs and got pulled after just recording one out. Micah Daniel came in to relieve him. He eventually gave up six runs, but through two innings of work. At that point, it's one of those things where hitting's contagious, and the Masters just took flight, said, we're just going to run this score up. And eventually the final score was 15-1 with the Masters taking the win in the first game of the season for Carey. Now, it would be really easy to look at that score and just write the whole season off. We're overreactors by nature, aren't we?
It is, but we're also baseball fans and know that Nothing is as good or as bad as it seems after one day of baseball.
Yeah, as a wise man of baseball and a man that I've gotten to call a game with a time or two, Ron Polk would say, that's baseball.
It is, isn't it? Oh, my goodness.
Day-to-day things will look different for a team, and just sometimes it's not your day. The ball does not fall your way. The calls don't go your way. Or sometimes you just get blown out, and then you come back the next day, and you live to see another one. And again, it could have been really easy to just write off the weekend of, oh, this is going to be just a rough trip. But Carey finds a way to push the right buttons, get the right pitching, get the right hitters in order, and find a way to grit out three games afterward to make it a 3-1 weekend over the Masters. Getting some one run or close score games, but otherwise some games where Carey was in fairly full control and the final score just looked a little closer than it was. Like their second game out, Carey wins 12-7. Can't look at that final score and really say, oh, that was kind of a close one for a while. Carey led by the score of 9-4. It was 9-1 entering the eighth inning. And Carey just gave up six runs in the eighth to make it closer. And at that point, it was a two-run game going into the ninth. Carey padded the lead with couple runs to make it a final score of 12-7, but still a great bounce back for Carey. And then they sweep the doubleheader and come away with the wins. And it's again, that's just baseball.
Well, and when I go back and look at that first game loss and you actually look at the box score and you're encouraged that you out hit the Masters 9-8.
Yeah. Free passes are what killed
them. Oh, you cannot do that. And that's going to be something I think for any team can be the storyline of the season if you allow it. We will talk basketball in the next segment, but one of the things in the past weekend in basketball, Carey loses in men's basketball to a really good Dalton State team. Their record doesn't look that good because they miss a ton of free throws. It's just like walks in baseball. You can't do it. You got to make your free throws in basketball. You can't give up free passes in baseball. And so once Carey cleaned that up, a whole bunch for them to find ways to win three in a row. And it very well could have been a week where Carey goes all the way across the country and sweeps if they would have gotten off to a better start in that first game.
Yeah. So Carey gives up 11 walks in that game, in a shortened game at that, seven innings. Carey only gave up 11 walks twice last year. One of them was the final game of the season against Oklahoma Wesleyan, and the other was a conference game against Blue Mountain. But I would not be surprised if that is the most walks given up by Carey in a game all year. Or it may be tied a time or two. Who knows? But it's very uncharacteristic. And I find it a little interesting that pitching would have that issue because typically pitching is ahead of batting early on in a season. But still, it happens. Again, Carey had to bring in so many different arms this year and really had to reload and get ready for the season because you lost so many starters. I mean, on both sides, defense and offense for that matter. But a really good bounce back for Carey. And yeah, time to talk about some of these characters. Obviously, game one didn't go the way of the Crusaders, but coming out in game two, Everett Thompson, newcomer to Carey, gets the win, pitches five innings, only gives up one run, strikes out three, did walk four. But at the same time, it pitches to contact, forcing six groundouts and five flyouts. That'll keep an arm fresh for the long haul of the season. Because if you can continue to have outings like that where your defense is able to back you up, you can get balls hit into play, keep your pitch count down. I mean, he had 85 pitches through five innings. That's fairly effective, pretty good, especially early on in the season. And then you follow it up with a couple new guys as well, Caleb Ugel, Jimmy Johnson, and Dylan Wallace. Dylan gets a save in that game, pitching an inning in a third, as Carey comes away with that win 12-7. And then meanwhile, you also look at the next game out. This is an interesting one. If you want to break it down inning by inning, Carey, if they played this doubleheader in Hattiesburg, would have lost the game. And that's not saying that they would have played differently at Milton Wheeler Field versus how they played in California. I'm talking about how typical doubleheaders are scheduled at Carey, in that you typically play a seven-inning game followed by the full nine-inning contest on a doubleheader day. Well, it just so happened that at the Masters, they chose to pitch or to play the 9-inning game first and then follow that up with the shortened 7-inning contest. And so Carey, going into the 7th inning of game 1 of Saturday, they trailed by the score of 3-2. And I had told Josh, I was like, well, Carey dropped another one. They're now 1-2, going to try to make it an even 500 on the weekend with their second game. And then I looked back and the box score continued. And not only did the game continue, but Carey rattled out 4 runs in the top of the 8th inning and kept Masters scoreless for the final 2 frames.
Did that feel like finding a $20 bill in your pocket?
That's exactly what it felt like.
Because it did to me. Because you're not wrong very much, and that's a testament to you knowing the rules and following it. And it's always a little nuance in NAIA baseball. We talk about the nuances in NAIA baseball, and that was one that caught you, that they flipped the script, so to speak, of how they scheduled. And so that just – To know you had a chance to go and sweep the day and win the series all the way across the country, and then Carey goes and does just that.
Yeah, and it was really nice, and it was a bright spot on what was turning into a bit of a somber week for at least our expectations. You know, we have such high expectations of what women's basketball is doing this year. They dropped two games of the week to Loyola and Life. William Carey men's team, they were riding a high, but they dropped that Dalton State game on Saturday and lost by a big point margin. So you top that off with Carey's got a losing record going into the final game of the weekend. And then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, oh, wait, no, they won. And then to continue on, Josh McCord has a good outing in the final game, and Carey's able to win that one 4-3, staving off a comeback in the 7th inning. They led it 4-1 going into the 7th, but hold on to win in that one. And Dylan Wallace picks up his second save of the year. Josh McCord starts and gets the win. Matthew Davis, after having that rough first outing, pitches some quality innings, an inning and a third, that is, but did not give up a run in that one. So you have another bright spot for William Carey moving forward. Before we run out of time, also, just wanted to highlight some of the individual performances. Alan McLean had a 6 RBI contest on the weekend at the Masters. His RBI total is up to 7 fully on the year with a 500 average. Gage Hennett, newcomer, batting 400 already on the year. Tyler Duxworth picked up a home run on the weekend. Good things so far on the early returns, and baseball picks up right where they left off with more baseball coming up this weekend. Hope you'll be out there to Milton Wheeler Field for Friday and Saturday as we host Campbellsville and CIU. But coming up next, we got the man, the myth, the legend, Coach Steve Knight, coming into studio. So stay tuned to that as we talk all things men's basketball coming up next on this edition of Crusader Talk.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back with you here on Crusader Talk. Glad to be with you. So we're in the middle of the crossover season. We've been looking forward to this for a little while. Baseball's already underway. Got their first home weekend coming up. Basketball has been in full swing for a long time now. And we are joined by the man that has he was the leader of our time on Super Talk, as a matter of fact. Yeah, we had the Steve Knight Show for so many years on this station before we finally said, you know what, let's expand the love to all the sports, to at the time Coach English and Coach Hallford and all the other guys. But he's back. He's back in studio. It's like riding a bike. You're just right back to having that microphone in front of your face. Coach Steve Knight joins us here in studio. And Coach, first of all, I think for all of us that have been following your journey lately, how are you feeling?
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I've taken a few days off. I feel much better. I think I kind of overdid it a little bit. I got released the week before, and went to practice on Tuesday. We played Thursday. We played Saturday at home. Then we traveled to New Orleans on Monday. So, that 3 games in a row right there kind of got me. And on the road trip back home from New Orleans, I started feeling it. I was in a lot of pain. And I said, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to make it to Georgia. Well, wife and I got in the truck, and we made it to Heidelberg. And I told her, I said, you're going to have to turn around. I said, I can't make it. And so I went back and took full advantage of being off and resting. And I've got a little TENS unit that helps out a lot. And, putting putting heat and then cold on it, and it feels much better. So hopefully it'll stay that way, and I'll be able to make it through the rest of the year.
It's good that you found out in Heidelberg, because Josh and I were saying if it was about midway through Alabama, that'd be a long journey back. At that point, you'd probably just say, you know what, we'll just grit our teeth and make it the rest of the way.
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to make that call. I said, you got to tough it out, man. You got to tough it out. And I just said, you know what, be smart. And that's what I did.
How about PJ and Bert, though, as the extensions of all their time together coaching JV and all their time with you? The guys respond the same to whoever, whether it's three of you on the bench or it's a couple of you on the bench. Those guys go out and give the same effort every time out.
They do. They've done a great job. PJ has been in charge of practice here in the last 3 years. I let him come up with a practice plan. I let him. He's a defensive guy, and I'm the offensive guy. So we've got our different sections of practice where I'll be more involved. But as far as the defense, it's all on him. I'll give him some advice during games about, hey, maybe we need to change this for a little bit. But other than that, the way we're playing, that's all on him. And I give him a lot of credit. You know, he's a hard worker. And Eric Burt, you're talking about a guy who will do anything and everything he can for anybody at William Carey, but for that athletic program, he is involved in a lot of things. And I keep putting more and more on him, and he just takes it and runs with it and does a great job. So, you know, both those guys played for me, and they know the style of ball that I like. They know what my expectations are. So, you know, I've had to miss some practices in October and November and then again after Christmas. And, you know, it's as if I'm not there. And so – the way it's gone, I think what I've tried to do is interject my experience when I talk to the guys that, hey, I've been through this before. Just listen to me and let those guys be the ones that are out on the court. Because I went the whole preseason. I couldn't get on the court. I had to sit in a chair to coach. And so we're just sitting there, and I try to take it as a situation where, hey, I've been doing this a long time, and I've got some things that I can say to these guys that will help them out, and kind of been more of a fatherly figure. Didn't used to be that way, but I am a little older now, so I think it's a good combination. It's worked well for us.
Well, I think that experience certainly speaks volumes, and I know it didn't turn out into the form of a win over Dalton, but still, just thinking about how this team has prepared for the year – and for certain game situations, one thing that's been just different about this team this year compared to what I've seen historically in just my short time at Carey is the fact that somehow, some way, they find a way in close games to pull it out 9 times out of 10, it seems like. And no other of a greater example than one of the more recent games in that road stretch, Loyola 82-80 victory.
Right. And every time Loyola took a lead in the second half, we bounced right back next possession and scored. Either tied it or got the lead back. And there's something about these guys, you know, you talk about that it factor. They have it, and they don't like to lose, and they have confidence in what they're doing, and they go out and they play hard every day. And this team, more so than many others that I've had, we've got a lot of depth, and we're able to impose our will upon other teams. We continue to play the same way. We don't have to change up what we're doing. What we're doing is working. And so if we just stay at it and stay at it and stay at it, we may not get what we want in the first half, but down the stretch in the last 10 minutes of a lot of ball games, you can see that our conditioning and the way that we've been aggressive and put pressure on people wears them out, and it's led to a lot of wins. So really happy we've been able to do that.
It also helps to have a bunch of guys that want the ball in their hands in that last 5 minutes. And it's going to be typically a different guy each night, but whether it's Malik Franklin, Troy Dunn, or especially who it's almost been, unfortunately for him, maybe the last 2 to 3 weeks, Anthony Robinson has only been good in the last 5 minutes. He's struggled early in games. But when it comes to the last 5 minutes, mentally he flips a switch and he is to the rim, to the free throw line. He's extremely composed at the free throw line. But between Robinson, Franklin, and Dunn, you've got three closers on that team big time.
Yeah, we do. And, I learned a long time ago, as they say, it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmys and Joes. And we've got a lot of Jimmys and Joes that can go out there and play, and they've had success in junior college. They are very confident, and they play well together. And, Troy and Malik are two big-time shot makers. And, notice that neither one of them have started all year long. I've always kind of had a rule in my head, and I've stuck to it, that I want scores coming off the bench. I want guys that when we sub and the other team subs, we've got a big advantage. And obviously that's worked for me, and I like that. And these guys have accepted that role. Neither one of them has said one word to me all year long about starting. And, of course, we've got five seniors that start and they have sort of deserved that, you know. They've been here a little bit longer. So it's just worked out really well. The chemistry on this team is great.
Now, we extend the road trip from Loyola down in New Orleans to Marietta and Life and then on to Dalton State. First of all, because you weren't able to make that trip out east, how was Josh's calling, by the way? What's your grade?
I'll give him an A. Josh did a good job. You know, he was I thought he was a little better in the Life game than he was in Dalton, as was the team. So it all goes hand in hand. But, there were a lot of other factors to deal with up at Dalton besides the basketball game with the weather. But, you know, we knew Coach Bird and Coach PJ and I talked several weeks ago looking at our schedule. This past week was by far going to be the toughest that we will face all year long. Now we've got the week after next going to Faulkner and Mobile. That's the second one, and only because it's two games, not three. But we had to reschedule this Loyola game. It was going to be the last game of the season. And then because the conference schedule came out and it had everybody playing that last week, well, it turned out that's the week of the tournament because NEI moved their dates.
Oh.
So Commissioner Hall just called everybody and emailed all the coaches, said, look, I don't want to get involved. Y'all work it out on your own. So that's why you saw a little bit of different scheduling by some teams. They weren't playing every Thursday and Saturday. There were other games interspersed. Mm-hmm. And we were looking at our schedule and where to play the Loyola game. Of course, the girls were also involved because they're doubleheaders.
Sure.
And we're looking and said, look, okay, we don't want to play on a Monday after we've been on the road on Saturday. So thank goodness Loyola was our travel partner. Mm-hmm. So we both were dealing with the exact same situation. So we were looking at weeks where we were at home and then where can we fit it in? And it turned out being there were really only two choices the way it worked out. It was going to be the Monday before Life and Dalton, or it was going to be the Monday before Faulkner and Mobile.
Ooh.
So just flip a coin on that one, right?
Yeah.
So we went ahead and got it played. And Coach Lindsay down at Loyola said, man, this is so hard. And game prepping and that
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, it throws off your whole schedule.
I said, let me tell you something. I said, when we were in the GCAC, we played every Thursday, Saturday, Monday. So I think I had a little bit of an advantage on you because that was normal from, however many years we were in the GCAC. So because we played all conference games after Christmas. But it is tough. That Monday game especially is really, really tough. But our guys bounced back. That Life game, we had a lot of energy. We played really, really well against a good team. And, we just got kind of buzzsawed at Dalton. They had a great second half. They shot it from the three-point line just better than most teams do. And we're just sitting there. It happens. Hey, we're 20-2 right now. We won two out of three last week. We're not crying about that.
I was just saying that to Josh earlier this week. I said, if you could have told us that Cary would go 2 out of 3 for this week on the schedule at the start of the year, you would take it. It doesn't matter which one it was, which one you dropped, how you dropped it. You would take two out of those three.
Absolutely.
Coming home with that win. Yeah. All right. So next up on the schedule, Thomas and Aback over at William Carey. Looking forward to that matchup. The meeting with Thomas on Thursday night will also be on Super Talk at 7:30 that evening. What's your quick 20-second preview of Thomas?
Yeah, Thomas, extremely athletic. You know, they're a team that can beat anybody any given night, but they do have problems finishing basketball games. And but against William Carey, it seems like they get a little bit extra high, as in getting ready to play high, and want to beat us. So it's going to be a war on Thursday.
Understandably so. All right, he is Steve Knight, head men's basketball coach at William Carey. Big week coming up as we continue on SSAC play. Appreciate Coach for joining us. Up next, our final segment for you here on Crusader Talk. Stay with us.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Time flies when you're having fun. And we have been having a lot of it. Man, I could talk to Coach Knight for forever.
Oh.
And we need to do a full summer episode of all the stuff that we talk for so much outside of the actual programming minutes of this show. And telling us all things about his days in minor league baseball to former players, recruiting, all the like. It's just always so much fun.
Yeah, this guy who was on the team that was in the majors, this guy that caught for him that played Major League Baseball, who's now with the MLB Network, and just all those names.
And there's so many coaches across Mississippi that are his players. He mentioned one that's going to be retiring soon from high school ball that he coached. And I'm just thinking to myself, how crazy is it to think I'm still coaching and my former players are retiring from coaching now?
Yeah, can we let the cat out of the bag, so to speak? He didn't say that it wasn't for air.
I have no idea.
Coach Knight's back next year.
That's what he said.
That is, as of hot off the press, breaking news, Coach Knight back for his 45th season as we sit here and breathe today. How about that?
Yeah, pretty awesome indeed. All right, softball is about to begin their season. Josh, I just saw where Ryan Hornsby and Julia Shaw are two players to watch from the SSAC's list coming into the season. I feel like this season is just headlined by the return of Wendy Hogue.
Yeah, I mean, you go back a little over a decade to 2014 when Carey was in the championship game, that close to a national championship for softball. She goes on to Southern Miss, then takes a hiatus to spend more time with family, then wins a state championship with her daughter at Petal, and now she's back after some time as athletic director. And I think, you know, in my mind, I'm so positive about the hire. I just think she picks up where she left off. I think the connection she has, her proximity to the program, the familiarity of being a mom of one of the players on the team, and just knowing the culture. Obviously, still her relationship with Coach Fletcher still being on the staff, and with Hannah Brister being on the staff, the cohesiveness that is there with that group. I think this has a chance. I mean, the preseason picked number one for a reason. I think it has a chance to be another banner year for William Carey softball. Absolutely.
Yeah. We talked about expectations earlier in the show about baseball, women's basketball, all the like. It feels like softball's right there in the mix as well.
Well, let's go back a couple of years in softball. Now, last year, for whatever reason, they were splitting every weekend. They were splitting. It was split, 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 split. And they just could not get that sweep. They could not.
Yeah.
And it just never could make that move. But you go back 2 years ago, and that team had the winning run in scoring position to go to the World Series 2 years ago. And you've still got Hornsby back off that squad. You've got so much talent on that roster. And they brought in a ton of good pieces. But I think it does start inside the circle. But you mentioned Julia Shaw, how good she is. Neiman is so good. But Neiman and Hornsby, bring back your top two arms inside the circle. And then I think it starts there, and everybody falls in line behind that.
Yeah. Going to be a possible special one, and looking forward to getting all the details of who shines, who are the players to keep watching, what are the big matchups coming up down the pipe for Coach Wendy Hogan Company. But talk about things to be excited about, a full schedule regarding this week in athletics for William Carey. I haven't even talked about swimming. They had a great meet not too long ago hosting Loyola down in Biloxi, swept that set. But they will be participating in the Sun Conference tournament beginning on Wednesday over in Ocala, Florida. So Coach Gonzalez and company will be down there. Women's basketball and men's basketball, as we mentioned earlier, are going to be Thursday night, 5:30 and 7:30, the times for those two. And then as you continue on, women's tennis are going to be competing in the ITA in National Indoors coming up on Friday. That'll also be a busy weekend for the other sports as well, because softball will begin their season in Pineville, Louisiana against Texas A&M Victoria. William Carey will be hosting CIU and Campbellsville for a round-robin style tournament. The neutral game between CIU and Campbellsville will be at 11. Carey will follow that up with playing Columbia International, that's CIU, at 2:30, and then wrap up with Campbellsville that day at 6 o'clock. Softball will also, by the way, be playing LSU Alexandria, the host school, later that afternoon down there in Pineville. Then wrap it up Saturday. You have got all things basketball, tennis, swimming, softball, baseball. We'll probably invent a new ball between now and then, but you can get the full slate of scheduling at careyathletics.com. But trust me, you'll want to be a part of either basketball or baseball as far as here in the Hub City. Coming up on Friday, women's basketball at 12, men at 2, and then baseball at 2:30, as well as another game, I believe, as well. It's all lost in the shuffle of all the different sports going on.
Well, and we'll effort to get Wendy Hogue to catch us up and kind of have a recap of that first weekend and the preview next week.
And, dare I say it, a new women's soccer coach.
Ooh.
Going to be talking about that. I know we didn't get to talk about him today, first day on the job, so giving him a breather to get all caught up and all that. But we will tell you about the new person that's going to be guiding the William Carey women's soccer program coming up in our next episode. May get to talk to him as well on the podcast. But that'll do it for us. Our thanks to Coach Knight for joining us earlier in the show. For my co-host, Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill saying until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saters.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.